From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. The middle path concept approach can be applied in the society. General Elections Commission KPU announces health examination results of presidential and vice presidential candidate 2019. And now the news in detail. Some 231 scholars, activists from various countries and international organizations gathered to attend the 7th World Peace Forum with the theme The Middle Path for the World Civilizations. The forum was held by the Office of the President's Special Envoy for the Interfaith and Civilization Cooperation Dialogue, the Center for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilizations, CDCC, along with the Malaysian Social Education Organization, the Multicultural Trust of Malaysia, Cheng Ho, was officially opened by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, in Jakarta, Tuesday, August 14, 2018. Met by the media after the opening ceremony of the forum, Minister Retno said that the middle path approach must be implemented in the community and able to be translated into programs that it is global in nature, such as the economy that is directly related to the welfare of the society.
Bagaimana middle path approach ini dapat diimplementasikan? Pertama,
how can this middle path approach be applied? Firstly, the middle path approach can be implemented in an open society. Then, the second is the middle path approach must also be translated into global programs. So I told you about the economic issues, because once again, the welfare of the community, the welfare of all people will follow the mainstreaming of middle path approaches. And thirdly, of course, there must be justice. Minister Retno Marsudi further stated to fight for peace by the middle path is not easy. High commitment and determination is needed. She said the middle way concept approach should not stop just an idea, but it needs to be implemented in the people's lives. Retno continued it was mandatory to involve the role of grassroots, especially in family institutions and women. According to her, the forum is very good, opening all figures, not only religious leaders but also activists, to talk about the problems of the middle way or the language of Islam unity. The General Election Commission KPU announced the results of the health examination of the presidential candidates and vice presidential candidates 2019. In the results of the health examination, all presidential candidates were declared eligible. The Commission Chairperson, Arief Budiman, at the KPU Office Jakarta Tuesday, August 14, 2018, said that the examination was carried out on a person-to-person basis, and the results of the health examination of the presidential-vice presidential pair would be announced one by one. The results of the first examination read out were the health results of the presidential candidate Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin. Arief Budiman said Jokowi was declared healthy and able to carry out his duties as president.
Hasil pemeriksaan kesehatan untuk atas nama Joko Widodo
The results of the examination of Joko Widodo. At this time, we have found that President Joko Widodo's presidential candidate was spiritually and physically incapacity to carry out his duties as president. And secondly, there were no negative abuse of narcotics and psychotropic substances and other addictive substances. In general, it is stated that he meets the requirements. Furthermore, Arief Budiman said that the results of the examination of the vice presidential candidate Ma'ruf Amin were also declared capable of carrying out his duties as vice president and fulfilling the requirements. Meanwhile, the presidential and vice presidential candidates Prabowo Subianto and Sandiaga Uno were also declared healthy and able to carry out their duties as president and vice president.
Untuk bakal calon presiden, Tuan Prabowo.
For presidential candidate Prabowo Subianto, currently there is no spiritually and physically incapacity in the fields to carry out duties and obligations as president. Secondly, there was no negative abuse of narcotics and psychotropic substances and other addictive substances. In general, it is stated that he meets the requirements. Furthermore, Arief Budiman said that Vice Presidential Candidate Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno currently does not have spiritual or physical inability to carry out his duties and obligations as Vice President. In addition, there were no misuse of narcotics and psychotropic substances and other addictive substances, so he is declared eligible. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of Indonesian National Agency for Cyber Control and Code, or BSSN, Joko Setiadi said that strengthening the cyber security strategy is important as an effort to maintain Indonesian sovereignty in the world. This was stated by Joko Setiadi after the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding between Indonesia and the United Kingdom, which agreed to strengthen cyber security cooperation between the two countries. The MOU was signed by the head of Indonesian National Agency for Cyber Control and Code, BSSN, Joko Setiadi, and the British Minister of State for Asia and the Pacific at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, Mark Field, at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta, Tuesday, August 14, 2018. After signing the Memorandum of Understanding, Joko Setiadi said that in recent years, technological advances were undeniably contributing to cyber threats that could endanger state security, such as piracy of confidential information and hacking. So far, besides the United Kingdom, according to Joko, Indonesia has also established cyber security cooperation with Australia, the Netherlands, and several other countries. So if we look at it, it's called cyber. It applies to nations around the world, whether it is threats or protection or technology. We have to really adopt which is the best. What does it mean? So that we are safe from external threats. The statement from France in other countries is the same. So that not only Indonesia has cyber attacks, but also all countries in the world have the same interest for that. They continue to be vigorous not only in the UK, yesterday also with the Netherlands, with Australia. We all neighboring countries meet to face the dangers of the threat of cyber attacks. And you have heard what had happened inside our country. For example, at the General Election Commission KPU last time, when the simultaneous regional head elections were held. In last elections, such cyber attack have also occurred. Joko Setiadi further said that strengthening the cyber security cooperation was also important to pay attention to the government ahead of the upcoming 2019 general election to anticipate fraud. According to Joko, some time ago, a number of countries that carried out elections had strengthened their cyber security to anticipate fraud in the election. Therefore, his party continues to work together to deal with cyber threats during the 2019 election. Indonesia and the United Kingdom have signed cooperation in cyber security. The Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, on the cyber security was signed by the head of Indonesian National Agency for Cyber Control and Code, BSSN, Joko Setiadi, and the British Minister of State for Asia and the Pacific at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, Mark Field. The signing of the MOU was held at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta Tuesday, August 14, 2018, witnessed by the Indonesian Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fakhir. After signing the agreement, A.M. Fakhir explained that cybersecurity cooperation between the two countries was very concrete, including the development and implementation of cybersecurity strategies, cybersecurity incident management, awareness promotion and training in security and capacity building in cybersecurity.
Seperti yang baru disaksikan, kita baru saja menandatangani kerjasama.
As recently witnessed, we have just signed a cooperation in cybersecurity by Minister Field and Joko Setiadi as the head of the National Security Cyber Agency. And this is quite progressive compared to cooperation with other countries, because it has led to concrete cooperation efforts. I would like to add, among other things, that cybersecurity dialogue is one that we will continue to develop and implement cybersecurity strategies, cybersecurity incident management, awareness promotion, security training, and cybersecurity capacity building. On the same occasion, the head of National Security Cyber Agency, Joko Setiadi, said that the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding of the Cybersecurity Cooperation between Indonesia and the United Kingdom was the first step of the cooperation in the cyber sector that would be established between the two countries. According to Joko, UK is an advanced and superior country in terms of cyber technology. The signing of the Memorandum of Understanding today is only the starting point, and in the future there will be more concrete cooperation. Joko said in the future the UK will provide capacity building training in the field of cybersecurity for Indonesia. In addition, there will be activities for sharing experience to anticipate cyber attacks in the future. Indonesia and UK agreed to revive the forum or partnership forum. The forum was a meeting place for ministers from both countries to discuss a number of bilateral cooperation. The agreement was reached when the Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir and the British Minister of State for Asia and the Pacific at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, Mark Field, held a bilateral meeting at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta, Tuesday, August 14, 2018. According to Fakhir, the bilateral mechanism between the two countries, which are quite large in various fields, can be used to view and seek efforts to improve cooperation in various fields.
Kami juga sepakat antara lain akan.
We also agreed, among others, that it would revive the partnership forum, where a number of ministers will meet in an effort to review various collaborations, because our bilateral mechanism is quite a lot in various fields. And because of that, there is a need to see, as well as seeking efforts, ways to increase cooperation in these various fields. Fakhir added, in addition to reviving the cooperation forum, the two countries also agreed on forest law enforcement, governance and trade, or FLEGT partnerships, that has already existed between Indonesia and the European Union. The agreement provides official certification for Indonesian timber so that it can be exported to European countries including the UK after British exit or Brexit. Based on data from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the trade value between UK and Indonesia in the past 5 years has reached $2.5 billion. In addition to bilateral issues, Fakhir and Field also discussed a number of regional and global issues of concern to the two countries. The United Kingdom has agreed to continue to promote dialogue with Indonesia in dealing with various international issues, including the period of Indonesia's membership as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for 2019-2020 period. Field's trip to Indonesia is the first he has done since he was appointed as the British Minister of State for Asia and the Pacific at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. In 2017, besides Indonesia, he will visit a number of other countries in the region, such as the Philippines, Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, on a 13-day tour in Southeast Asia. In addition to meeting Fakhir, Field will also meet Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil, and ASEAN Secretary General Lim Jokhoy. Indonesia, as a traditional friendly country of South Korea and North Korea, has always played a constructive role in building peace in the Korean Peninsula. This was conveyed by South Korea's ambassador to Indonesia, Kim Chang-bum, in an exclusive interview with Voice of Indonesia in the commemoration of Korea's Independence Day on August 15 at the South Korean embassy in Jakarta recently. According to Ambassador Kim Jong-bum, the Korean Peninsula is currently in crucial crossing for a change, and Indonesia also acts as a bridge connecting the two Koreas in multilateral forums. He stressed that all the positive movements that have taken place can build the confidence of the U.S., South Korea, and North Korea. However, the resolution of problems in Korean Peninsula still requires the role of the international community, including Indonesia.
So this sequence of very positive movements are now building up trust and confidence amongst the players, US, South Korea, and North Korea. But still, there is a long way to go because the peace is making, especially the to establish permanent peace structure on the Korean Peninsula, is more like a marathon. It's not 100-meter sprint.
Yes.
You cannot just finish up with just one very strong push. So I think we need some patience, we need more coordinated care, and also we need more support from international community, including Indonesia. Indonesia has been and still is a steadfast supporter and constructive player to make the whole Korean Peninsula peaceful and stable.
Kim Jong-bum further said that through Pyeongchang's Winter Olympics, the two Koreas had been able to resolve some difficulties and agreed to join together in the athletes' parade at the opening of the Winter Olympics in South Korea and form a women's ice hockey team. He aided for the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra. South Korea and North Korea will enter together with one flag in the opening parade. In addition, the two Koreas have agreed to form a joint team for several sports, including basketball. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo installs Police General as new Minister for State Apparatuses. General Election Commission KPU announces health examination results of presidential and vice presidential candidates 2019. And the last item, Indonesia and China have forged cooperation in modern waste treatment in tourism resorts, in particular to help preserve the environment. Indonesian Ambassador to China, Johari Oratmangun, noted in a statement Wednesday that proper waste treatment could provide social, environmental, and economic benefits, including support to the government's efforts towards sustainable development. Oratmangun witnessed the signing of a cooperation agreement document between Jiangsu Zhufeng Environmental Protection Science and Technology Co. Limited and Bali Energy Waste, as well as the appointment of PT Sejahtera Lestari Utama Jaya as the Indonesian representative. The ambassador noted a modern waste treatment system can promote environment-friendly tourism in Indonesian cities. Shaanxi Province's Yunchan-based company was established in 2007 with an initial capital worth 46 million RMB. Ambassador Oratmangun had the opportunity to witness the operations of the Zhufeng company with a waste treatment capacity of 300 to 600 tons, and the company's headquarters is located in Zhukian, and its three chapters are respectively located in Yuncheng, Beijing, and Nanning. Jiangsu Snow Maple Environmental Protection Science and Technology Limited Company is specialized and engaged in research and development for garbage processing equipment, design, installation, production sales, living garbage, processing technology, biological wastewater treatment and environmental protection technology, and soil improvement and desertification control technology comprehensive study of high-tech enterprises. And listener, to end news, here are the headlines once again. The middle path concept approach can be applied in the society. General Elections Commission KPU announces health examination results of presidential and vice presidential candidate 2019. And that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitling will the ceasefire between Hamas and Israel be realized? Will the armistice in the Gaza Strip really come true? This question is really relevant, related to the issue of the ceasefire, which is now being discussed in the Israeli government. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Sunday has expressed a desire for a ceasefire with Palestine in the Gaza Strip. The Jerusalem Post newspaper, August 13, reported that Netanyahu's statement was before the Israeli Prime Minister led his cabinet meeting. Netanyahu's wish was raised shortly after the Israeli army bombarded the Gaza region. Not less than 168 Palestinians died from the increasingly tense conflict in the Gaza Strip, which was triggered by the transfer of the Israeli capital to Jerusalem. Israel is increasingly aggressive in its attacks by deploying air forces to the Palestinian territories in Gaza Strip on Wednesday and Thursday, August 8 and 9, 2018. In the armed conflict, many Palestinians died, including children and pregnant women. At least 170 points have become Israeli airstrike targets on the August 8 attacks. The Palestinian in this case, the Hamas, who occupied the Gaza Strip, responded that the ceasefire has actually been carried out. The Hamas fighter stated that the two sides had actually done it since last week. Hamas stated that the ceasefire was carried out thanks to the Egyptian participation. The facts on the ground indeed show that at the end of last week, there were no more attacks by the Israeli Air Force. Regarding Egypt's participation as stated by Hamas, it is justified by the news that actually Prime Minister Netanyahu was secretly visiting Egypt. Israeli television reported that Netanyahu last May met up with President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi regarding a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The question is it true that a ceasefire will occur between the Israeli military and the Palestinian Hamas, and there will be no more civilians become victims? The statement of the Israeli Prime Minister before the cabinet meeting earlier this week may become a sign that for the first time, a ceasefire was seriously discussed in the cabinet meeting. If this commitment manifests, the fear of a reopened war between Israel and Palestinian Hamas, as happened in 2008, can be avoided. That was commentary. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on August 15, 1914, Panama Canal was opened for shipping. Panama Canal was the canal which cut the Panama Isthmus along 82 kilometers. The canal cut the North America and South America, as well as connected Pacific and Atlantic Ocean. The canal also managed to shorten the travel time of ships. There is no need to turn through the southern tip of South America. The development of Panama Canal was firstly emerged in the 16th century. However, the new construction began after the successful construction of the Suez Canal. Finally, the Panama Canal was completed and officially opened on August 15, 1914. The Panama Canal had helped 800,000 ships crossing since its opening, or 12,000 ships per year. We'll be right back. Now we turn to another event. On the signing of New York Agreement on August 15, 1962. New York Agreement was established in order to displace authority over West Indian from Netherlands to Indonesia. The agreement was done due to the initiative of U.S. diplomat Ellsworth Bunker, due to the battle over West Indian continued to rise. One of the results of New York Agreement was ceasefire and the displacing authority over West Indian from the Netherlands to Indonesia. The discussion began when the Dutch promised to resolve the West Indian issue at the latest within 1 year, when the recognition of Indonesian sovereignty at the Round Table Conference in Den Haag on November 2, 1949. But until 12 years later, the Dutch did not keep the promise. Due to the situation, Indonesia then took important steps to free West Indian from the Netherlands by conducting diplomacy and confrontation steps, as well as military operations. The last event, namely Aceh Peace Agreement, was signed in Helsinki, Finland on August 15, 1961. Aceh Peace Agreement was an agreement which ended conflict in Aceh. The conflict began in 1975 when Hasan Tiro conducted dissatisfaction movement with the Indonesian government at that time. Aceh had become a military operations area by the ruling government to end the conflict in the region. However, the huge earthquake that caused the tsunami in December 2004 made the Aceh movement and the government at that time negotiated to end the conflict that occurred more than 25 years. The last event, namely Aceh Peace Agreement, was signed in Helsinki, Finland on August 15, 2005. Aceh Peace Agreement was an agreement which ended conflict in Aceh. The conflict began in 1975 when Hasan Tiro conducted dissatisfaction movement with the Indonesian government at the time. Aceh had become a military operations area by the ruling government to end the conflict in the region. However, the huge earthquake that caused the tsunami in December 2004 made the Aceh movement and the government at that time negotiated to end the conflict that occurred more than 25 years. On February 27, 2005, Aceh movement and the Indonesian government began the negotiation in Vantaa, Finland, with a facilitator was former Finnish President Martti Ahtisaari. Finally, it was held the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on August 15, 2005. Peace process was later monitored by a team, namely Aceh Monitoring Mission, consisted of 5 ASEAN countries and some European Union member countries. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic about Indonesia-Malaysia cooperate to develop the automotive industry. Indonesia and Malaysia agreed to collaborate in an effort of developing the competitive automotive industry in the Asian market. The effort is also carried out to deepen the structure of manufacture and fulfill the need of components in both countries. This was stated by Director General of the International Industry Access and Resilience, Ministry of Industry, I Gusti Putu Suryawirawan in Jakarta on Friday, August 10. Putu Suryawirawan said that Indonesia and Malaysia want to become the pioneer in ASEAN. Both countries have realized that ASEAN is one of the integral economic powers. The synergic way of both countries is marked by the swap of Memorandum of Understanding between President of the Indonesian Automotive Institute, Imade Dana Tangkas, and CEO of the Malaysian Automotive Institute, Dato' Muhammad Madani Sahari. The event was witnessed by Malaysian International Trade and Industry Minister Darrell Lay King and Director General I Gusti Putu Suryawirawan. On the occasion, Suryawirawan also held a bilateral meeting with Minister Darrell Lay King. I Gusti Putu Suryawirawan mentioned that the cooperation to be carried out comprises the development of human resources competence, the strengthening of supply chain, the increasing of the components industry competitiveness, and the conducting of research and development activities. According to him, Indonesia and Malaysia share the common power by the availability of 2,000 components industry. Meanwhile, due to the factor of its population reaching up to 650 million people, ASEAN has become a potential market particularly for the automotive industry. Meanwhile, President of the Indonesian Automotive Institute, Imade Dana Tangkas, told that his site and the Malaysian Automotive Institute encourage a joint venture between automotive components enterprises in both countries. Indonesia and Malaysia will initiate the establishment of the ASEAN Automotive Institute Federation. With the power of components industry in the two countries, automotive industry can utilize the ASEAN content for transportation from the total components produced by the ASEAN countries. Mother Dana added, recently each country utilizes 40,000 of local contents. If this is combined until reaching 100%, when it can be said as the ASEAN content, this is how the ASEAN cars can be produced. CEO of the Malaysian Automotive Institute, Dato' Muhammad Madani Sahari, explained further that the two parties will identify the companies which can cooperate and be encouraged to produce components for vehicles with internal combustion engine. Research to learn all the new technology such as electric and hybrid transportations will also be conducted. Sahari also said that Indonesia and Malaysia want to cooperate about biofuel since palm oil is a vital commodity for both countries. It is not impossible that later the cooperation can also be accommodated by other ASEAN countries such as Thailand or the Philippines. He hoped the joint venture can establish self-transportation production. That was my Indonesia for today.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesia and China have forged cooperation in modern waste treatment in tourism resorts, in particular to help preserve the environment, Indonesian Ambassador to China Johari Oratmangun noted in a statement Wednesday that proper waste treatment could provide social, environmental, and economic benefits, including support to the government's efforts towards sustainable development. And listener, that's News in Brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu.
Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world.
To various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to one of typical foods from Bengkulu. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is well known to have various kinds of traditional foods which are unique and delicious. The uniqueness of the foods can be from how to cook it. There is traditional food which is processed by fermentation to avoid the food becoming rotten. One of them is lemea, food from Lebong Regency, Kepahyang, North Bengkulu. Listeners, lemea is fermentation food of Rejang tribe. Rejang tribe is one of national tribes which is spread out in Bengkulu province. The main ingredients of the food is rebung or young bamboo, which has a lot of nutrition such as protein, amino acid, carbohydrate, and antioxidant. Usually in lemea, rebung is mixed with fish and then fermented. The fish which is usually used is tilapia and sepat fish. Listeners, making process of lemea takes long time because in its process, raw ingredients of the food must be fermented for around 3 days. To make it, firstly, the rebung and slices of fish are mixed. Then the dough is restored for 3 days in a closed container. After that, it is stored for 3 days in closed container. After 3 days, the fermented dough is processed again by being cooked and mixed with coconut milk and ingredients such as red onion, garlic, chili, lemongrass, sugar, and salt. Listeners, lemea has typical and unique taste, but it is no less delicious with other regional traditional foods in Indonesia. Sour and spicy taste from fermentation and its ingredients makes anyone who tasted it want to enjoy eating it more and more. Until now, many people enjoy Bengkulu traditional food even. The food is packed and exported to Japan. In Bengkulu, the food is still becomes daily menu at home. If you are interested to taste lemea, you will be not difficult to find it because there are many restaurants in Bengkulu selling this food. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring lemea, traditional food from Bengkulu. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is uang kecil or in English, small change. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about uang kecil or in English, small change. Tony and Enda are in a shopping center. He will pay for a keychain. The price of a keychain is 12,000 rupiah and Tony gives the money of 100,000.
Harganya 12.000.
Oke, ini uangnya.
Aduh, ada uang pas? Saya belum punya kembalian.
Oh, ada.
After the conversation, now Alan taught you some expressions related to the topic today, uang kecil, or in English, small change. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Harganya 12.000. Harganya 12.000. In English, it is 12,000 rupiah. Ini uangnya. Ini uangnya. In English, here is the money. Ada uang pas? Ada uang pas? In English, do you have right money? Saya belum ada kembalian. Saya belum ada kembalian. In English, I have no small change. Oh, ada. Oh, ada. In English, oh, I have it. In the conversation, the cashier said, aduh, ada uang pas, saya belum ada kembalian. Uang pas means the money which appropriate with price of goods. Sometimes the cashier also needs small change, like in the next conversation. Tony, ini uangnya. Cashier, ada uang kecil? Uang kecil means the money which is smaller number than the one given. You can give 15,000 rupiah or 20,000 rupiah for the price of 12,000 rupiah, so as there will not much change. If you do not have the right money, you can say maaf tidak ada or maaf tidak punya. For example, Tony, ini uangnya. Cashier, ada uang kecil? Tony, maaf, tidak ada. In Indonesia, you have to bring cash money and small changes. In the traditional market, shopping complex, even at some kiosks and mall, the payment usually do in cash. Only at mini market or certain kiosks, you can do transaction by using card. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Harganya 12.000.
Oke, ini uangnya.
Aduh, ada uang pas? Saya belum punya kembalian.
Oh, ada.
You've just listened to the conversation about uang kecil, in English, small change. Now I'll give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan. Saya bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat, mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai dengan pukul 1 siang. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which presents you with Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. To welcome the 73rd Independence Day of Indonesia on August 17, we will present you several songs with a theme of nationalism in today's edition of Music Corner. The first song that we would like to present is Merah Putih by Saikoji.
The song was released by Saikoji for free in 2009. The song was preceded by Sukarno's speech about Indonesia. Sukarno was the first president of Indonesia. Composed in hip-hop genre, the song Merah Putih calls for Indonesian society to respect the diversity and keep united as one nation, namely Indonesia. Let's listen to the song Merah Putih by Saikoji.
Kita adalah satu bangsa yang menghadapi beberapa challenge.
Dari Sabang sampai Merauke, ia adalah merupakan satu kesatuan kebangsaan. Ia adalah satu national entity. Ia adalah pula satu kesatuan kenegaraan.
Ayo bangsa Indonesia, revolusimu belum selesai.
Merah putih berkibar begitu gagah, cerminan akan bangsa yang perkasa. Ku hormati dengan penuh rasa bangga, Indonesia ku bersatu sepanjang masa.
Yeah, merah putih, hormat gerak, buat semua bangsa lain tersentak. Kibarkan sangsaka dengan serentak, harumkan nama Ibu Pertiwi serempak. Di bawah langit biru berkibar tertiup angin, bangga jadi orang Indonesia ku semakin terpacu untuk memajukan bangsa. Tunjukkan kita kuat, kita bukan mangsa. Berbeda suku, beda golongan dan agama, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika kami yang pertama. Bahu-membahu, bimbing saling membimbing, berat sama dipikul, ringan sama dijinjing. Ini Nusantara, kita satu darah, satu nusa, bangsa, bahasa dan satu arah. Takkan ku lupakan selama-lamanya bangsaku Indonesia namanya.
Merah putih berkibar begitu gagah, cerminan akan bangsa yang perkasa. Ku hormati dengan penuh rasa bangga, Indonesia ku bersatu sepanjang masa.
Yeah, apapun mereka bilang, tekadku takkan hilang. Jalanku masih panjang, garis akhirku pandang. Jangan lupa kita macan Asia, Pancasila kita yang menjadi rahasia. Untuk bisa bersatu dalam satu semangat, untuk membela tanah air semua berangkat. Tak lupakan keringat dan darah yang tertumpah dari para pahlawan negeriku, aku bersumpah. Memegang erat bendera merah putihku, sisipkan lengan baju jauh lebih hisiku. Untuk bangsaku aku berkarya, sumber alamku begitu kaya. Kami tidak takut, Garuda di dadaku, semangat 45 ada padaku. Aku tergugah untuk berani rasanya, bangsaku Indonesia namanya.
Merah putih berkibar begitu gagah, cerminan akan bangsa yang perkasa. Ku hormati dengan penuh rasa bangga, Indonesia ku bersatu sepanjang masa. Merah putih berkibar begitu gagah, cerminan akan bangsa yang perkasa. Ku hormati dengan penuh rasa bangga, Indonesia ku bersatu sepanjang masa. Merah putih berkibar begitu gagah, cerminan akan bangsa yang perkasa. Hormati dengan penuh rasa bangga, Indonesia ku bersatu sepanjang masa.
You've just listened to Merah Putih by Saikoji. Listener, next we would like to present you a song entitled Garuda by Chocolate Band. The song Garuda, which was released in 2017, adds another list of works by Chocolate highlighting the theme of nationalism. The song Garuda portrays the Indonesian coat of arms. Garuda reflects the spirit of pride, hope, and power of Indonesian nation. By possessing the spirit of Garuda, Indonesian society is encouraged to unite their determination on behalf of Indonesia. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Garuda by Chocolate Band.
Garuda
That was the song Garuda by Chocolate. We will present you another song about nationalism entitled Selamanya Cinta, performed by 21st Night. In this song, Indonesia is depicted as a country filled with love and beauty. Therefore, Indonesian society is invited to preserve the country forevermore. Listener, here is 21st Night Group in their song Selamanya Indonesia.
Di sini rumah kita.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.